Parshas Toldos starts with the Leda of Yaakov and Esav. The Hiroyim starts with Vayeta Yitzchak Hashem Lanecha Chishtei Ki Akaral Hi Ve'Yosel LeHashem Atar Rivka Yishtei Ve'Yisrei Tzitzu Albanim Bekir Bo Avatem Rimkein Lamaze Anechi Vatelach Adrishas Hashem. There was a Ritza of the twins in her womb, and she says, what's going on? Vatelach Adrishas Hashem. So Rashi says, what was going on? So it says that when she was over on Pesach, Beta Batik Nesius and Batik Midrashes, so Yaakov wanted to go out, was kicking to get out. And when he passed by Beis Avodah Zarah, so Esav was kicking to go out. So she says, what's going on over here? And she goes, Lidreshes Hashem. The Maharal asks, he says, I don't understand. L'chur, it's Mavur and Chazal, that a Yitzhahara only comes b'shas leda. That was machlekes between Antoninus and Rebbe, that it happens that the person get a Yitzhahara at the time of inception, of conception, or the time of birth, and the psak was like Antoninus, that it's at the time of birth, because if it would be earlier than that, then it says that the fetus would kick to go to come out. So if that's the case, that it's only at birth that one gets a Yitzhara, so how do you have such a Musik Bechlal that somebody's passing by in Batei Knesias, Batei Midrashis, or Batei Avodah Zarah Avdil, and Lechur, there's no Yitzhara Bechlal. So he says in Echanami, Yitzhara is for Taiva. Taiva is Milui Cheser. A person feels like he's lacking something. Yitzhara wants to fill the lacking, and therefore he has a Taiva for something. That only comes B'shas Ledo, at time of birth. However, there's something which is nothing to do with a taivo. It's simply a teva. It's a nature, and something which is a nature is even before he's born, even when he's a fetus, there could be that nature. The way that Revolve is Masburin, when he quotes his Maharal, he says it's like magnetic force. The same way that if a person has a compass, it always, how does a compass work? It always points to the north. Why? Because the north has a magnetic pull that always causes it, the needle, to go towards the north. So that means that there's magnetic forces in the world. Actually, we just saw it in Brachis, a fascinating Gemara, on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, that says, Rashi says, that there's places in the Yam Ukiyinus, in the Atlantic Ocean, She'enu Mekablim Barzel, that you can't, it does not let metals pass by where uninterrupted. So the Rosh Hashanah's Masbury says, what's the pshat? He says, because on the bottom, on the floor of the ocean, there's huge magnets, and it pulls all metals down to the floor. This is what's known as the Bermuda Triangle, that they've been trying to figure out for hundreds of years what's going on. And we already knew for hundreds of years before, they've been hundreds of years, exactly what's going on. And because in a Hanami, any metal that passes by gets sucked down to the bottom. If there really is such a thing as a Bermuda Triangle. But on the side that there is, that's the pshat. That means that there's magnetic forces in the physical world that pull metals towards them. So the same way is in Ruchnius. Ruchnius, everything that has in Gashmius has a counterpart in Ruchnius. And Ruchnius is the same way, that there's magnetic forces that could pull a person either towards Ruchnius, towards the Ribbono Shel Olam, or away from it, towards Ra, towards Avodah Zarah. And that's what Esav had an Etiyah towards Avodah Zarah, and there was this magnetic pull towards Avodah Zarah, and Yaakov had Fakert. And Revolva says, he says, I'll give you a mashal to such a thing. He says, sometimes a person is walking down the street, all of a sudden he turns into a direction. Not even thinking about it, he just subconsciously he turns, and he beholds indecent sight. So what happened there? He says, what happened there is that a person has this magnetic force, and in a chanami, he was kilu, it pulled him away from where he was, and towards that spot. But it's not just in l'ra. Anything which is l'ra, kal v'chomer, mida toy b'meruba, like the Mesilta Sharm says, that the Akdama, that the purpose that we're here is that we should be nimshach after the Ribbono Shel Olam, kebarzel achar even asher yaves. There's such a metzias, that a person gets nimshach after the Ribbono Shel Olam like a magnet. Like David HaMelech said, he wakes up in the morning and he says, I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm going to the other place. And my legs should take me, I'm off to the supermarket, and my legs are taking me somewhere else. It's this pull, this you could call it natural pull, but there's a way to cultivate it that it should become, that it should become a natural pull now towards ruchnius that a person could have. Now the way that it works, befashness, is it's like mitzvah gereres mitzvah, aver gereres aver. Like the Mepharshim say, that every time that a person does a mitzvah, so he gets a ruach of kedusha that surrounds him and makes him interested in being mekayem another mitzvah, or they give him the opportunity to mekayem another mitzvah. But it's this, there's this, every time that a person does a mitzvah, it strengthens his spiritual muscles and gives him more of a pull towards the ruchnius than he had beforehand. That's really what it says. When she came there and she said, "Shnei goyim bivitnei, shnei lumi mayachi pareidu, la'oyim la'oyim yematz ravi avaytzeir." La'oyim la'oyim yematz, Chazal say, means that when one rises, the other one falls. In other words, you don't have it that the Yitzhara and the Yitzhara Toiv are, or really Ra and Toiv, but in each person individually, Ra and Toiv are not going to be equal. When one rises, the other one falls. It's like a scale. And the more that a person invests effort and expends effort in Ruchnius, the more he overcomes his Gashmius, and the more he'll have more of an atia towards Ruchnius. It's interesting, this Natiya towards, this pull towards Ra, is Betzem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it as part of the Bria. In Revolva says, he quotes the Rav Chaim Velazhin, says in Ruach HaChaim, in his Pirush on Pirkei Avos, that there's something very interesting, it says in Chazal, same Pirkei Avos. They say, Havei rotz the mitzvah kala kevach amuro. You should run after a mitzvah, even a small mitzvah, kevach amuro. They say, have a berech min aviro. Run away from aviro. Says, if you're stagnant, if you stay in one place, says Rabbi Chaim Velazhin, what's going to happen? So it sounds like the mitzvah is going to run away from him, and the aviro is going to catch up with him. You have to run after a mitzvah, and you have to run away from aviro. That means the aviro is running after a person, and the mitzvah, you got to run after it to be able to get it. If you stay equal, if you're stagnant, you're stationary, then in a chanami, the Avir is going to come flying out after the person, and the mitzvah is going to run away from the person. This is vas epis. It's not fair. He says, no, it is fair. That's why the Rebbeinu Shem Eder. Imagine if it was exactly 50-50. And you had the same pull towards Toiv as a person had towards Ra. Then, and they're both sitting in front of him on the table. So what's the tzad that he's going to choose Ra? It's like Moshe Rabbeinu with Pari, with the gold and the silver and the coals. Of course he's going to take the gold and the silver. They're both in front of you. What's the question? Who's going to go for the coals? The same thing over here. If there was exactly the same pull, then certainly a person wouldn't go for the Ra, he would go for the Toiv. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make it that there's this magnetic pull, this glamour, there's this geschmack that there is in the Ra, that a person is nimshach after the Ra, and Mamela, he has to run away from the Ra and run after the Toiv. That way we have equilibrium in the Bria, that there's Bechira. Now there can be Bechira, because the Yitzhara is easier to get to, and the Yitzhar Tov is Taka harder to get to. There's a famous Goyin that says by Ruth that Ruth was having a conversation with her mother-in-law, Naomi, back and forth and back and forth. And it says, Vatera ki misametas hi laleches, that Naomi saw that Ruth was putting an effort to come, and then she stopped. She said, okay, you can come. So the Goyin says on that, Vatera ki misametas hi laleches, he says, because a person, when they want to know whether or not they're doing something, are they doing a mitzvah or they're doing an aviru? He says, very often it's the mitzvah takes effort and the aviru doesn't take it very much effort. Right? It's much easier to just stay in bed in the shacharis than to get up out of bed to go. It's much easier just sheval tasa. Terekim is a mitzvah hilalechas. She was investing effort to be able to come after, walk after Naomi. So Naomi said, oh, I know that she's L'Shem Shemayim. It's not just Tam that she's expecting to get something from me, whatever it is. No, it's L'Shem Shemayim, because it takes an effort. But this is an effort that pays off. The difference is afterwards. When a person runs after the mitzvah, so how does he feel afterwards? A person runs after the aviru, what does he feel the next morning? What does he feel after he finishes the whatever it was that he was doing? He has this massive meal, all you can eat for $23.99. After he guzzles down as much as he could eat and then a little bit more because he wasn't sure that he got all of his money worth, he feels a geschmack afterwards. So that's what it is by every aviro. Every aviro, at the time, it looks good, it looks geschmack, it looks... Afterwards, you have a stomachache, and afterwards, it hurts. And afterwards, chaval, I didn't do it. What did I gain already? Would have had an apple, I would have been just as happy 2 hours later. It's geschmack. Not that it's not geschmack at the time. For sure, it gives a high. But the lasting sense of satisfaction and of the enjoyment the oisher with the aleph of the true happiness that only comes together with a mitzvah. But it's at the beginning that's the difficulty. It's the choosing that's the difficulty. To be able to choose at the beginning before you feel that satisfaction, that's what's difficult. And not always does a person know what, that's probably the difficulty, is that a person doesn't always know what's the right and what's the wrong. It says, she didn't understand what's going on. Is there, there's one person over here, is he a tzaddik or is he a rasha? She goes to Shem Ve'ever, don't worry about it, you have twins, one of them is a big rasha, one of them is a big tzaddik. And we don't find that she's she was upset anymore, she's calmed down. What happened over here? See the Bali Musar. If it's two people, that's the way of the world. One's a Rosh, one's a Tzaddik. However, if it's one person, he's a schizophrenic. One day it's like this, one day like that. That's much harder. That's not the way. That's not normal. Says, well, what does that mean? Says, when a person could define the enemy, it's much easier to overcome it. However, when you have good and bad mixed together, then it's very difficult. You don't know what's good, you don't know what's bad. You're not sure. Is it good? Is it bad? When you know there's a Yaakov and there's an Esav over here, I know the Esav is bad, I gotta stay away from him, even if it's glamorous and even if there's paparazzi and everything else that you want are surrounding him. But we know it's bad and we know it's good. When a person doesn't know because it's all mixed up together, then it's very hard to decide to be Boicher B'Toiv, because what is the Toiv? Not always is it clear what is the Toiv. And that's really what the it's interesting, the Koyach Leitzon, it says at the beginning, Avraham Halidus Yitzchak. Rashi says that Tzor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was Tzor Klaster Panav Shal Yitzchak, Demer LaAvram. Why? Because there was Leitzonim. Leitzonim Hador would say that Avraham Avinu, it wasn't Avraham's child, rather, she became pregnant, Tzor became pregnant from Avimelech. Memela, he was Tzor Klaster Panav Shal Yitzchak, that she looked like Avraham Avinu. The Shaila is, there's Leitzoni Hador in even in Avram Avinu. Avram was Avam and Goyim, he was the Melech. Everybody says that everybody got together and they were Melech Avram as the Melech on top of him. He was the Tzaddik Hador, everybody was Makir then. And there's Leitzonim. It says Rav, but yeah, there are Leitzonim. That's exactly the same Nikudah that we said before. And to have Bechir in the Velt, there have to be the Leitzonis on one side and the Tzaddikim on the other side. And he says you can see that in every generation, and certainly you can see it in every generation. You could have the Gadol Hador, you could have whatever, and there's people making Leitzonis. There's people that it's something which is not so, Taka is not so, and the Leitzonis doesn't even have to make any sense, Bechlal. This made sense. It can't be that it's from Avraham Avinu, because Sarah was married to Avraham Avinu for many years and have children. So it must be from Avimelech. I don't understand. Avraham didn't have an issue. Avraham just had a child not many years ago. He had Ishmael as a child. The issue was not Avraham Avinu. The issue was Sarah. So if it was Sarah, what's the difference if it was from Avimelech or if it was from Avraham Avinu? Right? You have the same nace at age 90 that she's having a child. It doesn't have to make any sense. What's the difference if it makes sense or not? The Leitzonis is Leitzonis. You don't have, it's like by Kerach. Rabbi Yaakov Glinsky says by Kerach, there's the famous medrash that's Masber, that Kerach spent the entire night being telling an entire story, and says, you guys don't feel bad? You know what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing together with Aaron Akain? I had an almana that was next to me, my next door neighbor, and she planted a field, and she was she harvested it after she finally harvested and she got it. Then they took Trumos, and then they took Meiser, and it goes to the Kain, and Vehulu, and everything that she did, She made dough from it, and then they took again, they took challah, and they took keep on everything that she does. She was a poor almana, and she... So says Yaakov Glinsky, you know what I would say if I was there? What are you talking about? We're in a midbar. She didn't plant anything, she didn't have any challah, they're eating man, what are you saying? It doesn't make any sense. You're right, it doesn't make sense. That's like, it doesn't have to make sense. You get everybody caught up. Doesn't make sense, but you're caught up and that's it. Exactly like Mitzil Shurim says, let's say Tanis. It's just, a person says an entire shmooze, half an hour, and somebody makes a little joke at the end, and it could be the dumbest joke and something that, you think that he really means it? It's all a joke, right? And that's it. The whole thing goes sliding down. It's all out down the drain. That's Leitzonis. And somebody, I heard from in Nevada this week, he said that there was a little clip that somebody showed him of Koreans. They came from Korea. And they said that the reason why they're coming to Eretz Yisrael is to find out how it is that Jews are less than a half a percent of the entire populace of the world. And nevertheless, the Nobel Prizes, they get, make 25% of the Nobel Prizes are won by Jews. It makes no sense, it's totally not proportionate. So they came to Israel, and after looking into it, they came out that it was because of the Talmud. Since Jews learn Talmud, so therefore that's where they get all their knowledge from, and it's because of that. So I heard, I don't know if this is true, supposedly they translated into Korean, they translated the Talmud into Korean, and that's what they're learning, everybody's learning Talmud. That's not why we're here for it. But the fry come and they say, what are you sitting and learning? Bench warmers, what are you doing? Parasites, what have you done for us? Anything, come and become a scientist, become a professor, become everything. All the chachma, my friend, where does it come from? It all comes from the Gemara. But no, it doesn't make sense. You're just parasites living off everybody. B'chanina b'daisit says, right? Daily, b'chanina b'daisit, kol ha'oilim nizim b'shul chanina b'ni, chanina b'ni, daily b'kav chumimi, erev Shabbos, erev Shabbos. All the money, everything that's happening, everything that's being, the world that's turning around, is all because there's one Chaim Kanievsky who's sitting in Rechav HaShbam that's learning Gemara, you know what I'm saying? It's all, what are you doing? You're not making any money, you're not doing anything. All you, my friend, it's all stems from here. All your knowledge, all everything is all from the Gemara, and it's all your thing is from here. Yeah, but, in the Konami, but, so you're not sure? What's right? What's wrong? The person doesn't know. So how does the person know? How does the person know? The person knows if he's on the side of the Gedolim. If you're on the side of the Gedolim, and you're doing what the Gedolim want, then you know that you're on the right side. And if you're ever unsure, then ask a Shiloh. But generally, it's pretty clear who the Gedolim are. There was a machlokes in Korach and Avraham and Moshe and Aaron. If you know that Moshe and Aaron on one side, you know you're good to go. If you know that Chaim Kanievsky and Gershon on one side, you know you're good to go. If you're on their side, then you have nothing to worry about.